We are in Denmark, in Martinus Center in the village Klint. My two friends, Kenneth and Torben from Martinus Forum, is going to make a video film with me. You are also very welcome to visit www.oleterkelsen.dk, DK for Denmark. Here we go.
It is founded by a Danish writer called Martinus Thomsen. He was born in 1890 and he lived for 90 years and died in 1981. And he explains when he was 30 years old, he got cosmic consciousness. It was a kind of enlightenment. His consciousness was open to the spiritual world, or he said he got new senses. He could see things behind life in the spiritual world. He could also observe the laws of life, the eternal principles for life and consciousness. And the last 60 years of his life, he wrote a spiritual science, which was based on his own observations in the physical world, but also in the spiritual world behind the physical world. And in the first place, he called his work for spiritual science. But I think in 1960, he also used another title of his work, and that was Martinus Cosmology, because the subject for his teaching or his writings, that is the whole universe. In a way, you could say that Martinus Cosmology is the theory of everything that exists. There are some in the theoretical physics who are trying to find a law, a principle for the theory of everything. But to me, Martinus Cosmology is the theory of everything, because Martinus works with an eternal universe. It has had an eternal past and will have an eternal future. So he don't talk about a limited time, but he speaks about eternity. He thinks that organisms, organs, cells, molecules are living beings, but it goes on infinitely in microcosmos. You know, you can say 0.1, 0.01, 0.001, 0.0. So there's not a smallest number, and there's not a largest number. 1, 10, 100,000 human beings, planets, solar systems, galaxies, groups of galaxies. So I mean, Martinus takes everything into account in space and time. So, but he has explained the laws of life. He has made a science of fate. He has made a cosmical chemistry. Personally, I am a chemist, and I know there's laws for the physical chemicals. But Martinus also think that all the energies that we use in our consciousness, they are also ruled by laws. And Martinus knew these rules and these laws, and he wrote about them. And he think if we learn all the laws for the psychic, the mental part of human beings, we will be able to construct a happy fate. For that reason, he made a science about life and living. And so in a way, his world picture, his philosophy, or his view on life is based on observation. And in that way, it is a science. The natural science is based on a method. You should be able to measure all things by physical means. So for them, science is a method in which they work. But to Martinus, the truth is science. So he talks about the eternal truth, the absolute truth. And he claims that he could experience it directly through his intuitive capacity, that he could experience it directly. But Martinus also writes about Jesus, not because it's a religion, because he would make, in a way, a science of Christianity. That means that he absolutely thought that Jesus spoke the truth. But for lots, hundreds of years, thousands of years, people believed blindly in Jesus. And that's not that bad. I mean, if he speaks the truth, it's got good to believe in it. But now the world has become very technical and very scientific. The whole world is very technical and scientific. For that reason, the eternal truth had to incarnate in a new form. So, but the way Jesus behaved, that was correct. Could you imagine that everybody on planet Earth behaved like Jesus? It would be a paradise. We would live in peace and harmony and health, and it would be wonderful. So it is the purpose of all Martin's writings is to inspire people to practice neighborly love or to behave like Jesus. But people cannot do that today because they think it is stupid, it's naive, you believe blindly in authorities. But then Martinus would explain that is the only scientific way, the only logical way to behave is like Jesus behaved. So Martinus used this expression, when the eternity entered the Christianity, it turned into a science in the form of his world picture, because with this eternal existence, you get the reincarnation and also these psychic laws that he could experience if you have about reincarnation. When the eternity, reincarnation, the law of karma, law of fate enters the Christianity, then it becomes a science. So Martinus, he thought that Buddha, Jesus, they spoke the truth, but they taught people who lived 2,000 years ago. They had to be taught in a certain way. But now the truth has to be explained to scientific. And for that reason, Martinus made what he calls cosmic analysis. Martinus could, through his intuition, experience the truth. But he had to make it everybody ought to have access to the eternal truth through intelligence. So he explained these truths in an intellectual way, in an intelligent way, and then people can grasp it with their intelligence and all their observations in the physical world. Martinus knew the result, but the truth. But then he shows us all the calculations that are needed in order to come to this truth. So in that way, I really think that Martinus' cosmology is a science. But his last 10 years, when he was from 80 to 90 years, he was writing on a book called The Third Testament. So he would complete Christianity. He would conduct the Christianity to perfection. Now it's 2,000 years since Jesus lived. And what has the result been? In one way, you could say the Christian countries are the biggest warriors. Are there any other people or countries that have a stronger military force than the Christian countries? So you have not reached the final victory of Christianity. But Matthew saw it as his job to conduct to this final victory of Christianity. And in a way, Martinus' book, his main work is the Book of Life, Lievitsbog. And it was in 7 big volumes. And to me, it is a handbook in observation of life. You can have books about plants, and then you can read about the plants. You can observe them. It's easier to learn the all the flowers and the plants to know when you have such a manual. But then Martinus had such a manual about all phenomena in life. And I have been studying Martinus for 40, 50 years since I was a teenager. And I have never observed anything that contradicts Martinus' analysis. But I have not, with my personal senses, experienced everything in Martinus' cosmology. But up until now, I have only had his analysis confirmed. So with this, in this way, I am a kind of spiritual researcher. I make a research through my everyday life, and then I look upon life through the analysis of Martinus. Is a contradiction or not? But I've always had it confirmed. So to me, it's really a spiritual science. But Martinus then, between 80 and 90, decided to call his whole work for the Third Testament, because he wanted sort of to make a science out of Jesus' behavior. And in a way, the Third Testament is a continuation of the Bible. And what Martinus wanted, that was to contribute to eternal peace on this planet. But in order to do that, it should be shown in a logical, in a scientific way, it pays to be good. And you can only be happy when you make other people happy. But if you have a one-life theory, then you become very egoistic and you want to experience the biggest success and happiness in one life. And then there is a struggle about the resources on planet Earth, just like in the jungle. So it's very important to make it a science that it pays to be good. And then you have to have eternal life, reincarnation and karma before you can understand it pays to be good. So in a almost kind of humoristic way, he said, my mission is to show that it pays to be good. But it is a teaching about morality. He wants to teach people to practice neighborly love and to show this is the only logical way to behave. And his idea about Christ is that he was a perfect human being. He was a model. He is a kind of ideal for us. But through the evolution, we will also reach the Christ stage. So we are in our evolution, we are on our way to perfection. And Martinus wants to stimulate this kind of evolution.
We are in Denmark. We are in Martinus Center in the little village Klint, 100 kilometers from Copenhagen. Now you can listen to the soundtrack of a video film that was made on this sunny day, the 17th of May, 2012. I will talk about, do we only live once or do we have eternal life? Here we go.
Well, according to Martinus, all living beings are eternal living beings. And many people say that's religious. It's a kind of belief. Do we have an afterlife or do we live eternally? But you could also look somewhat more scientific upon the case. And I mean, there's only two possibilities. You can have one life or you can have eternal life. Or life can have had a beginning or life do not have a beginning. And who can prove one is right or wrong? And Martinus thinks that you cannot create something out of nothing. You cannot create energy out of nothing. You cannot create life out of nothing. So it's impossible if once several hundred million years after Big Bang, by accident, life was created. You cannot explain scientifically how life or consciousness came around from nothing. So in a way, I think the argument with energy just exists, it has always existed and will always exist. To me, that's the most logical. But also the phenomena, consciousness and life is also eternal. So Martinus' whole work is based on this view of eternity. His work is called Martinus Cosmology, Martinus Spiritual Science, but he also called it the eternal world picture. And the whole world picture is very, very logical. But that is because it's based on eternity. Everything is observed from the viewpoint of the eternity. So, but we have a body, we have a physical body, and in Martinus' analysis, it's very important to distinguish between created things and eternal things. You have a self, an I, you have a consciousness which is eternal, and then you have a body that is created. So the body has a beginning and an end. And that's the big scientific question. Can consciousness only exist in a physical body? Or do consciousness have an independent existence outside the physical body? And there are lots of research in near-death experiences. And there you can see they can have an experience outside the body. So I guess there would be much more research, scientific examinations that will show that consciousness has an independent existence outside the physical body. And then if you only have one life, the life is very unjust, it's illogical, and it's not an expression of love. But if you have the perspective of reincarnation or an eternal life, then there is a justice, because when you compare a lot of lives, you can be rich in one life and poor in another. You can be healthy and you can be ill in another life. So if you have the whole eternity, everything, you will reach an equilibrium. So it's equalized. So from this point of view, life is just, and it is also very logical, and it is also expression of the highest love. So you get, but many people who are materialists, they are very much afraid of dying. And when maybe the husband or wife has died or the children, they become very, very unhappy because they think there is no afterlife. But with an eternal viewpoint, it's not so tragical. And Martinus says what happens when you die, that is that the five senses do not work anymore, but your consciousness is still working. So in that way, death is the biggest surprise of life, because the first thing you experience when you're dead, that is you're alive. And Martinus says it's so wonderful. And you also have many reports from these near-death experiences, and they sort of confirm Martinus' analysis. So it's so wonderful to die. And you could compare the stay in the spiritual world as a summer holiday between two lives. Or the physical world is the school of life. Then you go in the first grade, have summer holiday, second grade, summer holiday, third grade, summer holiday. For every year in school, you develop and learn a lot. In the same way, in the school of life, you have one incarnation, and then you have a summer holiday. It's so wonderful to die. It's so wonderful to stay in the spiritual world. Martinus says a little bit humoristic. It's good when you don't know how wonderful it is in the spiritual world. But if we really knew it, we'll commit suicide immediately to get into the spiritual world. You cannot imagine how wonderful it is in the spiritual world. And you can have so many wishes that are not fulfilled in this life, but then they will be fulfilled in the next incarnation and next incarnation. So it's such wonderful. Martinus guarantees all wishes are fulfilled. You just have to have some patience. But Martinus is speaking about the physical body, and then we have the self, the I, and the superconsciousness, which is eternal. You sort of have an eternal body. And all the information that you collect in all life, all your talents are stored in this eternal body. So you become a master through training and practice. So to Martinus, the motor, the driving force in evolution is not mutations and survival of the fittest, but it is training, practice. It is you get every time when you've made an experience, you have developed. Because they are not lost when the physical body goes under, when it's gone. But all these talents and all these information you've collected during your life are stored in this eternal body. And also, if you go to the question about health, you could ask, why are some children born handicapped? They are born with illness. That is because they have destroyed their health through bad habits in previous lives. In this lifetime, they say, I guess these five sins. If you drink alcohol, if you smoke tobacco, if you eat very much fat, and if you eat sugars, and if you don't exercise, then there's a big risk that you will get diabetes too, or you will get in your circulation and heart, and you will get illnesses there, because you have had bad habits. But you create a talent kernel when you have bad habits. And if you have bad habits in one life, you can more or less damage an organ. But then Martinus says you have also damaged your talent for creating a new healthy organ. So if you are born with an organ that doesn't work that well, it's because you have destroyed it through bad habits in previous lives. So you sort of have a health capital. So you transfer your health state from one life to the another life. For that reason, it's very inspiring for a more healthy life. Maybe you could accept that you would die from lung cancer or some other heart disease 10 or 20 or 30 years before. Then the problem is solved because I'm dead and then there's nothing. But the problem is not solved because if you have destroyed your organs, you will be born with weak or defect organs in next life. But how do you then become healthy again? And then Martino's explanation is the way to back to normality is just simply to live normal, live in a normal way. So that is also very good to know. But Martino says it's not only physical things that destroy your health. In a way, he says the most important thing about your health is the way that you are thinking. And on the deepest level, our thinking is the cause to all illnesses. Because when you think in a wrong way, you disturb your organs. Every thought has a certain wavelength, frequency, but also all organs have a wavelength or frequency. So some types of thoughts have an effect on some organs and other types of thoughts. But in general, if you are angry, you are envious, all different kind of negative feelings, you feel that you are treated in an unjust way, you are unsatisfied, you are angry, you are annoyed, and so on. This creates sicknesses, illnesses. He has pointed out the cause to some few diseases, but not to all diseases. But what he points out, that is, if you are pleased with life, you think life is wonderful, even if you have problems and you have pain and sickness and a lot of things, when you understand, that helps you in your evolution. When you have felt the pain on yourself, you can feel with others. So that makes you more human, humane. So if you can be grateful to all pleasant things and all unpleasant things, then you get this thought world, I'm satisfied, I'm pleased, I'm grateful. And that is the best way to create perfect health.